We warned you last week, this might be one of those Sundays you want to do double duty, both come to the first service and the second service, or maybe at the very least to access the church sermons through the website, because there's going to be five different speakers in each of the services, and those five different speakers are drawn from the year-long Bible study. In this service, we're fortunate to have Judy Jurnet, Jane Motley, Cheryl San Gregory, Robin Romance, and Luann Snow all sharing. And in the second service, Cheryl Denninger, Albert San Gregory, Rick Jurnet, Scott Romance, and Kim Suter will all be sharing with us too some of their experiences. There's been about 30 that went through the year-long small group from cover to cover, and we just asked the final few sessions together if there'd be anyone willing to share some of their experiences, and we just took the first 10 signups, and so the first 10 get to share today, and we get to hear their stories and be enriched by them. But of course, you know, I can't let the opportunity go by without sharing a little something personally for myself from this book together, and so I'll ask you to kind of set the stage for the five speakers to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Verse 14 through 17 will be in. You can't gather together without opening up this good book together, right? Am I correct there? So let's open up this book. And if you would, shout out the page number once you get there so that we can all open up the book together. That would be helpful. 1039, we can find 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's pick up in verse number 14. It's this section that they're addressing Scripture and this uniqueness, truly, of this book that we have the privilege of opening up together each and every week. And so verse 14 reads this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." We shared a little bit last week of my personal story behind why we do the godly goals sometime around the new year. The goals change each and every year. The resolutions around the new year change each and every year. But the sermon always remains the same, that we want to call forth some heavenly habits, some holy habits of our lives to live into. And I shared with you, part of that reason was because at a young age, from childhood, my pastor, I remember standing up there and giving the challenge to read the Bible from cover to cover. And being a boy who liked challenges, that appealed to me and stuck out to my mind. It was the biggest book I knew of at the time. And so we read it from cover to cover. And it was through reading that at a young age from cover to cover that I discovered this story saw through me and spoke to me in a real way. This book truly saw through me and spoke to me in a real way that ignited my faith in this Savior, this Jesus Christ. And so I feel like those words aren't just words on a page. They truly were etched on my experience through reading Scripture. But it says of all experience in verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." That Greek word that's translated in English, inspired by God, is a compound word in Greek. It's theos, meaning God, and neo, meaning breathed. Theopneo, God breathed, is literally the words for that inspired by God. Just say that with me for a second. It's cool to say. Theopneo, say it with me. Theopneo, God breathed, inspired by God. In other words, we don't believe this book is just a good book. We believe this is a God book. It was the very breath of God, written down by human hands. How he inspired them, we don't know the ins and the outs exactly, but we believe that there's more to this book than simply meets the eye, that this is actually the breath of God, God's personal word spoken to us as we open it up together. There's something unique about this book and the revelation that it contains. It's over 4,000 years of history, spanning multiple cultures, not just the Jewish nation, but multiple cultures that it's written through there. Over 40 different authors had a part in penning this work. There's something unique about this book, and yet it all tells one continued story from beginning to end of how God's reaching to save his people, to rescue them, to redeem them through his personal coming of Jesus. That's unique. There's other sacred scriptures The Muslims have the Quran. The Mormons have the Book of Mormon. But what's unique and different about this book is the Quran was the revelation of one man at one point in time. It was the Prophet Muhammad who received the vision from the angel Gabriel. One man at one point in the time who they hold as their inspired scriptures. The Book of Mormon. One man, Joseph Smith, who was said to receive a vision from the angel Gabriel. Imagine what it would take for the inspiring of this document. To work with over 40 different people, spanning over 4,000 different ages, and still writing one continuous story from beginning to end. I sit in a lot of board meetings as a part of my job, and it's tough to get 5 or 6 people who are in the same place, at the same time period, living in the same events, to get on the same page. You go through board meetings like that too? I can't imagine what it's like, 40 different people, 4,000 different years, and yet one continuous story plodding forward. I think there's some uniqueness why this claim, inspired by God, isn't just some breath for the air, but has some substance behind it. It's part of the reasons why I'm a Christian and not someone of a different faith background. I believe this book, as I've seen it speaking to me, and part of the historical evidence behind it, is just mind-boggling for me. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. That means it's for our gain. That's what profitable means, right? It's for our benefit. It's advantageous for us. That's what profitable is all about. This book is for our benefit. It's not to be a burden. It's not to be a ball and chain or just a finger pointing at us all the time. This book is profitable for us. And it truly does. Like no other book, it teaches about all vistas of life. Human relationships, marriages, friendships, finances, work, our just general attitude. It teaches it all in this book. It truly is profitable. See, major products come with a user manual, and this major product of our lives, humanity, comes with a user manual known as the Bible. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. This book instructs us. It educates us. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof. There's substance behind this. There's evidence. There's proof behind this text. Archaeological and sociological. There's for reproof. It's for correction. Ooh, I don't like that word so much, do you? Because I think a correction, I think something's broken that needs to be fixed, right? It's kind of like a broken bone. Sometimes this book points its finger at some uncomfortable places in your life. If you really read it, to look in the mirror honestly of your life. This book will point some fingers at some painful places in your life, some areas of brokenness. But like a doctor that pokes and prods you, he doesn't do it for your hurting ultimately. He does it hopefully for your healing. And sometimes when God is pricking and poking and pointing something out through reading his word that is out of step with his word, it's painful in the moment, but he does it so that he can correct it, so that he can cast it up, so that he can repair the brokenness in your life. And part of that means I have to acknowledge that there is an area of brokenness in my life. This book will reveal human brokenness and where we're out of step in our walk with God. It's good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and lastly, for training in righteousness. Training. Whew. It means you got to put some sweat behind reading this book sometimes. It means it's got to be an exercise, a habit. It doesn't come easily or naturally like any training does. It takes some work and some movement behind, but that's what this book is involved. That the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. You see, this book ain't just about what's in the head. It's meant to flow through the hands. It's meant to equip us for some good works. Not just some good thoughts, but a different way of living because of what we've encountered through this book. As we've said before, there's been about 30 individuals who have taken the challenge this past year of reading it from Genesis to Revelation and completed by the new year together, and I've invited them to share a piece and part of their story and what it's meant, not for the sake necessarily of just their story, but hopefully so that our stories are encouraged too. There's other ways to read this book than in the cover-to-cover fashion. And I don't always encourage the cover-to-cover fashion. It's helpful for different times and different seasons. It's been helpful in my personal practice. It's the way I read the Bible each and every year. But for you, maybe it looks like picking up a devotional and helping it guide you through some of these passages of Scripture. Or maybe it's just selecting one book and pouring through it paragraph by paragraph, spending 10, 15 minutes out of the first part of the day to study. I don't know how it's going to look for you. But I know that this book is profitable for teaching, for correcting, for reproof, and for some training in righteousness. And hopefully those stories will emerge as we continue on together. You've selected a number already. One of them's got some obligations down in Wiggly Worship. She's going to go first. The rest were drawn at random. They're going to share a piece of their story with us today about what it's meant for them. So please come forward at this time and share just that.
The Bible says that God doesn't like a coward, and I think Justin is extremely brave today turning his pulpit over to us novices, but we're all going to try to do our best here. My name is Judy Jernay, and I did go through the Bible study with Justin this past time, and I also did the one before that he had. I'm going to start out with, it seems most of the news I see on TV or listen to on the radio or read in the papers or even talk about with my friends is bad news. Doom and gloom, whining, complaining, and gossiping, illustrating the moral decay of our society. And this constant drumbeat of depressing propaganda robs us of our joy, which I've realized is the complete opposite of what God wants for us. The Bible, on the other hand, is filled with joy and hope and peace. And if you cherry-pick the Bible, some people can make the case against this because there is a lot of war, killing, and perversion. But that's why it is so important to read and study the Bible yourself and in a group setting with a knowledgeable leader. Some people have said to me that if you've read it once, why in the world would you need to read and study it again? First of all, it is a very complex book, and you need to read it multiple times. The first time I read the Bible, I used the Life Application Study Bible, which was extremely helpful, but it took me 3 years doing it on my own. Doing it in a small group Bible study, you can discuss things with the group, and the covenant you sign, as well as the group, holds you accountable to keep you up with your reading and your homework. Some people don't like the Old Testament, but you can't really fully understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament, because they are locked together with the history of our faith. It was a life-changing experience for me after doing the first Bible study with Justin and our group. I am very, very far from perfect, but I am trying to get my priorities straight, and one of them is to take time to be with God each and every day. I feel as a Christian, reading and studying the Bible is the most important thing I can do in my life. I say this because, how can I truly belong to Christ if I don't really know what he said or what he expects from me? If I truly want to become Jesus' beloved friend and spend eternity with him, I have to get to know him and have a personal relationship with him. And I've heard that saying, personal relationship, multiple times, and I didn't really understand what it meant until I went through the Bible study. But think of it this way. If you only talk to your friends or family members once a week for an hour or a couple times a month, how good or close of a relationship would you actually have? Would you really be influenced? Would they really be an influence on your life at all? Time is the most valuable gift you can give to the ones you love. And even though I've been involved in many worthwhile church and community projects, I realized they kept me so busy that I didn't have time just sitting quietly with God and finding out what he might want me to be doing instead of my multiple list of things to get done. Be still and know that I am God. I really didn't take it seriously before. It's hard for me to sit still and especially wait for God's answer. But I'm really working hard on it since our Bible study. And that is the beauty of the Bible and why it is a priceless treasure. It is the living, breathing, unchanging Word of God. The Bible speaks to each of us individually. The Bible tells us not to worry, but instead pray continuously, give thanks in all situations, and God will grant us his peace. That has been a gold nugget for me in my life the past couple years. When I try to look for the good in situations and thank God for them, it cheers me up and gives me a better perspective. They say thankfulness is one of the most important ingredients in a joyful heart. And when you are joyful, this changes the way you view the world around you. So I pray we all will not give into joyless living by letting worries about the present or the future weigh us down, but instead rejoice in the Lord. Today is God's precious gift. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And personally, I can't wait for the next year-long Bible study. Thank you.
I'm Lou Ann Snow. I drew second, which was good because I've been up here a few times talking about the Bible and different Bible studies, so I was kind of struggling with what I might say that I hadn't said before, or some of my classmates might have said before me, so that I went second was good, but I was struggling, and so I just left it with God for guidance, and I was like, duh, you know. So that was one of the things that I really gleaned from this class, was about guidance, and my focus ended up being a little more on specific things than broadly how the class affected me, because it was a very good practice for me to stay within a Bible study for a year and have, you know, what you're supposed to read every day. But there were things this time, I had taken it before, and different things this time stuck with me. I am an accomplished worrier, and so I have come to the conclusion that that is not one of the skills I should have been honing. And throughout the Bible, you see that God has always guided his people. He guided Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden because they didn't listen, and the Israelites through the wilderness, and then he gave us Jesus, who was the ultimate guide. So he has a plan for us, and worrying doesn't do anything but give you wrinkles, which, as you can see, as I said, I've worried. And what will help you is just to follow closely with God on the path, and when you're uncertain, ask him for guidance, and you'll get guidance. And the outcome might not always be, you know, what you wanted or what you expected, but you will know that God is going to be there with you. There is another kind of worrying. And my grandma Rose used to always say, she worried on that thing like a dog on a bone. So I would be in the Bible and I'd be worrying on things. I'd be chewing on stuff, cultural things like stuff that I would say, why does it say that? And then I'd be jumping down to the study notes, or I'd be going off to Google to see what that meant. And, you know, it was like, oh, that's why they recognized that person as the messenger. He's a man carrying water. Men didn't carry water. And I'm like, oh, you know. So now I have a head full of, like, useless information. It's like, interesting, but useless. So this Bible study struck me this time that the stories themselves, not those little things within them, are what God is telling us. It's what he expects of us, what he wants of us, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to be. And it's the story, not those little things that are in there that I was focused on. So now I was highlighting up a whole bunch of different things. So every time you go through the Bible, there's something different for your time of your life that you're in it right now. And you can go back, if you use different colored highlighters, you can see at what point in your life things struck you. And something that really stuck with me this time was that God meant business. In the Old Testament, when he said no, he meant no. And there were people and whole nations that were being punished all the time because they didn't listen. And in the New Testament, the focus is on Jesus and his blood sacrifice, so we don't have to have animal sacrifice for our forgiveness, and we don't have to have the intervention of priests, but he didn't come to change the rules, and he himself said that he wasn't here to change them. God gave us the Ten Commandments, and you know, we have that joke that's it isn't the Ten Suggestions, but really that's not funny because those things didn't change. And you know, like Justin said, there's 4,000 years of biblical history, and if you look at where we live, like maybe out to our great-great-grandparents and then maybe to some future generations of great-grandchildren, there's that very, it's a very small period of time in that 4,000 years. And so every generation, things change, and sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. But that bottom line is pretty much the same, and we think it's right. But are we living right? You know, and I'll just throw out, like, the Sabbath. When I was a kid, they had the blue laws that businesses were closed, but we weren't necessarily focusing on God at home. And so it's not a highly practiced thing today. So, but it is one of the commandments. And what are we, as a society, are we just going to say, oh, we don't do that anymore? You know, so I don't have an answer for you as to what will happen about not following that commandment, but what I do know is that I will take a year-to-year Bible study again and again after that, because I do want to know what is in there that I think is right and maybe what I think is not. And so I don't want to be at the last hour of my life questioning, you know, did I do things right? So I would take that, and I would encourage you to take a course. And I guess the next one's not going to be for a couple years, so I would say, why wait? Justin has a mile-long list of good resources, and so find one, open the front cover, and I can guarantee you'll find something new about God and about yourself that you didn't know before.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl San Gregory, and if you had told me a year ago that I'd be standing right here, I would have thought you'd been crazy. That was the old me. Over the last year, I'm very blessed to say that there is a new me. One of the reasons for this change is that I decided to take the plunge and sign up for the year-long chronological study of the Bible. There were many reasons why I wanted to be a part of this class. I had never read the Bible cover to cover, and there was so much that I didn't understand or remember from my childhood Sunday school days. As fairly new members of the church, I also thought it would be a great way to meet and connect with others. And when my husband Albert said that he wanted to take the class too, I realized that this would be the perfect opportunity to do something really meaningful together. Little did I realize how much my life would be impacted. The year's daily readings were all planned out, and it was vital that we kept up with the assignments. There was even a bit of homework thrown in to help us to personally apply what we were learning. For me, reading the Bible chronologically was like learning our genealogical history, from literally the beginning of time to the current day. It made a lot of sense to me in this format. I'll be honest, though, some books were easier and more enjoyable than others. The Old Testament's list after list of ancestors was not exactly riveting, but the point was to read everything. We understood that this was a high-level look at the Bible, and we didn't have time during this study to delve deeply into the subjects. That's for another time and is something that I very much look forward to. Experiencing the Bible study in a group setting was more beneficial than I imagined. Over the course of a year, you learn about people, their ups and downs. You pray for and with them. Through the discussions, you hear different points of view that help in the learning process and your understanding of God. One learning tool that we used in class were videos from the BibleProject.com. These are 5 to 6 minute snippets of all the books in the Bible, and they are presented in such a way that it helps to cement the themes and lessons in your mind. They're a great tool for anyone. As we faithfully read each day, I was astonished at how often passages spoke to me and related to daily life. We read Proverbs at a time where we could apply God's word to our lives as the parents of a 13-year-old young man, and the answers to issues we were dealing with were right there in God's perfect timing. I've learned and experienced so much during this last year. I have a personal relationship with God. I've been blessed personally as a married couple and as a family. I feel better equipped to raise a son who will have a strong foundation based on God's truth. My most profound change in feeling that I was now walking the right path was learning and understanding that God cares for us more than anything else in the world. He truly has a plan for each and every one of us. He stands with us and holds us tight during our toughest experiences. We're never alone, and he tells us not to worry during these difficult times. For me personally, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 has been life-changing. Paul writes, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." I spent some time doing a bit of research on this passage because it struck me so deeply. One of the study notes I found said, "God's peace is different from the world's peace. True peace is not found in positive thinking, in absence of conflict, or in good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. Our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure, our destiny is set, and we can have victory over sin. Let God's peace guard your heart against anxiety." Peace is what I found throughout this last year, and it's my wish that others may find it as well. Join a group, you never know what you'll find. Thanks.
Guess I'm a lot shorter. Hi, I'm Robin Romance, for those of you who don't know me, and probably that's not too many, because I like to talk. The year-long Bible study was a commitment that I was really happy to fill because of the joy and comfort I received in reading God's Word. Justin and I met once a month, and sometimes with Scott, to go over what we had read and to get to the heart of the matter. I truly appreciate that Justin made a point to do this for me because I wanted to be at the evening meetings, but because of work, I was unable to be there. So can we do this now? Because I can be there. No? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I did enjoy being a part of the group meetings later in the year while I was off work, especially since I wasn't the only one there to answer the questions. Sometimes I was really clueless. Justin had asked me something and I'd have no clue. But however, through the insights of the others in the class and through Justin and my husband, Scott, believe it or not, I learned a lot this year. I had read through the Bible 2 years ago, and when I read it by myself, I found I had a lot of questions. Sometimes I made a note of them, and I asked Scott or Justin later, or sometimes I just forgot about them. It's much easier to read the Bible with a friend or two. It's not as overwhelming, I think, knowing that someone else is reading the same thing you are at the same time. I remember feeling a closeness to those in the Bible study, even though I wasn't there directly with them at the time. And if something came up during Sunday school, we had a common thread to talk about in whatever we'd been reading. I not only learned a lot, but I received joy because I know I am forgiven, and in the fact that God knows me so well that even the hairs on my head are numbered. That's from Matthew 10. And also from John 14, "Don't be troubled. There are many rooms in my Father's home. I go to prepare a place for you." I've got a room reservation in heaven, just like the rest of you do, if you just accept him. Sorry, I have to inject some humor in this, because if I don't, I'm going to be crying. So anyway, seriously though, I received comfort through so many of the words in the Bible. In Matthew 10, 29 through 31, "Not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable than a flock of sparrows." And I feed them all the time too. I know when I fall, God is there to make sure I'm not alone, literally, that someone is there to help me. The first time I fell this past summer, there were two nurses there. The second time, my brother and Scott were there. I could have been alone, but God made sure I wasn't. One of the lines from one of my favorite songs is, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." I didn't only find joy and comfort in the Bible. The words we read seemed to speak directly to me so many times during the year, relating specifically to what was going on in my life at the time. For example, after a doctor's appointment, in which my family doctor was worried about some abnormalities he saw, I had to have a procedure and some blood work done. The day after that appointment, I read in Psalm 103:3, "He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases." This gave me a peace of mind, and after the test came back and everything was fine, I knew God had been watching out for me. As Luann said, I've always been a worrywart, and I probably always will be to a certain extent, but I'm learning to rely more and more on God and the gift of his Son. Throughout the year, I learned, as it says in Romans 8:28, in your struggles, large or small, trust that God is in control and that he will take care of you. And also from Matthew 6:31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Those two passages are ones I noted earlier in the year, but they definitely mean a lot to me at this point, with my brother's death and the loss of my job. But I'm not worried, because I know that God is taking care of us and watching over us. As some of you already know, my brother Robert, or Bobby Bear as I called him, died on the 28th of December. He'd been baptized and confirmed Lutheran, so he had a basis for his faith. However, he'd gotten into some trouble and he had not gone to church for quite a long time. But he did relate to my sister a few years ago that he had asked God to forgive his sins. And he did believe in God, so we were both grateful to know that we will see him again someday. When he was with Scott and I for Thanksgiving, I read the Bible passages aloud that we were due to read each day, as I had been doing. And so I know that he at least heard some of God's words very recently, and I hope he was blessed by hearing them. The additional information on the bottom of the pages of the chronological study was very helpful at times, too, in explaining things that Scott and I, mostly me, found difficult to understand. And that information, I also found these words, which are very helpful now. When devastated by death or tragedy, we need not collapse or despair, because we can turn to God and ask him to save us and help us. The tears will still come, but we will not be crying in vain. Some of the other verses that stuck out to me during my past year had to do with where my life was going after my injuries. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. It's from Psalms 25, verse 4. And the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Psalm 32. But from a very wise woman I heard speak during a women's event last year, Jennifer Jump, keep your focus on Jesus. Peter sank when he lost focus. Thanks.
My name is Jane Motley, and this was the second time that I had taken the year-long Bible challenge. I decided to read through the Bible a second time because I'm at a different point in my life and my faith walk than I was 3 years ago. In Psalm 119, the writer declares, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I believe that God speaks to me through Scripture. And if I listen, his wisdom will indeed give me direction, guide my steps, and teach my heart. I want to understand God's heart and his character and his will. And I was sure if I committed myself to reading the Bible again, the Holy Spirit would reveal new truths and insights to me. And he did. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." And in order for me to love God so completely, I have to know him. I try to read scripture through the filter of Jesus' words and his life. I find it helpful to look for two things when I read through a passage of scripture. I look for God's message to me, and then I look for his promise. Sometimes the passage seems to literally jump off the page, as if it was written especially for me. In the notebook, I try to write down his message, and then I try to write down his promise, so that I can remember them and then go back and think about them later. And it's very helpful for me also to go back and read those, you know, from years past. I'm not always very faithful with doing that consistently, but when I go back and reread those scriptures, they really speak to me again. In Hebrews 11:6, the writer says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And by reading the Bible, I'm seeking God's guidance to better follow the example of Jesus Christ. The class was an adventure because you never knew exactly what the Holy Spirit was going to point out or to help you to learn next. I would love to tell you that I'm always self-disciplined, but of course I'm not. And being part of a class is what I need to help me remain accountable and to continue reading the Bible, even when it becomes tedious or, difficult for me to understand. I try to read first thing in the morning because that seems to work best for me. And usually I spend about 20 minutes with a cup of coffee, sitting in my chair, reading my Bible. During our class time, I enjoyed listening to others share their thoughts and insights about our week's reading, and we encouraged each other and we persevered together. Because of our class, I have a better understanding of how the Old and New Testament fit together and how they tell a unified story of God's grace towards his people. Since the beginning of time, man has repeatedly sinned and rebelled, only to later repent, seek God's forgiveness, and undeservingly be extended God's mercy and grace. The Bible is the story of God's faithfulness. I am grateful to each of my fellow classmates for sharing their faith and in turn strengthening mine. I can tell you the experience of reading through the Bible has deepened my faith. I trust God more, and he's given me a greater sense of peace. Peace that quiets my anxious thoughts. Peace that helps me forgive myself and others. A peace of knowing that my steps are ordered by the Lord. When I'm disheartened or I'm afraid, I remind myself that God is still on the throne. He calls me his daughter. He is good. He loves me more than I can possibly imagine. God is my redeemer. He is my comforter. He is my savior, and he is my friend. Praise be to God.
We could get the worship team to come forward. And as they do, let's just give a round of applause for all five. Honestly, I hope we heard their hearts even beyond their words, because it showed courage and it showed that God had a hand. Perfect people standing up here? No. You could have known that because of the preacher that stands up there each and every week. None of us are perfect people by any means there, but we're giving God more access to work with us when we open up his word together. God, we really do want to be different people, change people, because you're the change in our life, and we want your breath, that God-breathed, God-inspired document to be the breath that fills these lungs and flows us in the mission with him together. And so I think that's what happens when we continually put that book before us and allow God's word to truly be God's word and to speak into our life together. Next time we'll offer that year-long Bible study. We do it every 3 years. So if you were just wondering, 2019, mark that date on the calendar. It should be open, right? 2019 will be the next time that we'll offer the year-long study. But you don't have to wait till then to let God's word speak in your life. We have Bible studies that meet throughout the year at different times, plugged in short-term Bible studies with the church. Breakfast with the Boys met this morning. We continue to bring a passage that just stuck out to us and talk about that around the table, around the breakfast table together. That's been the theme all year long, with Breakfast with the Boys and different things like that. So there'll be opportunities you'll see in your bulletin together. My encouragement is let God's word truly be just God's word and to speak in our life in some way through 2017 together. The New Year's resolutions we gave last week, sing was one of them, small groups was another one, that last one was self-denial. Maybe part of the way we can practice self-denial in our personal lives is by closing up 10 more minutes of Facebook, just abstaining for 10 minutes of Facebook. We can still have the other time of Facebook, but close up 10 minutes of Facebook, just allow God's book to speak into our lives. Or just to pry open those eyelids a little bit earlier, set the alarm clock 10 minutes sooner so that we can spend 10 more minutes with God's word opening our eyes through that day. Whatever the practice is, I encourage you, find a way to let God's word speak into our lives together. Worship team, if you'd close us off in a song of worship. Stand as you're able.